that he was made. And this one, I think a 95 buyer, I think I saw. I should have put that on the list, but I didn't. I think a 95 buyer in the second start off the 99 in the debut back in May. So the flashing sun by Into Mischief for Godolphin, kind of a late season 3-year-old. And he was a May foal anyway. So, you know, partly understandable, you know, that we talk about that, the delay. So watch for Strobe. We'll have to maybe get to Brad Cox this week. Have not talked to him. Got a mention from Saturday, too. Nice job by James Scully, giving everybody a nice bankroll boost with Curly Larry Moe. That was all right, right? Wire to wire under Arrieta for Kaio Karamori. Just under 6-1. 13.66. That was okay. There were some nice numbers. And there, you know, it's funny. We've been having these conversations with Nick Tamaro about the morning line, and you know, the betting is kind of all over the board. And if you knew categorically the way they were going to bet these races, sometimes, like for instance, Kentucky Ghost ended up paying 16.88, and was I think 6-1, 5-1, yeah, and you know, floated up a little bit. Had the early part of the card of the Keeneland card, middle part, had some nice success. At New Year's Day scratching, I could not. Sorry for not getting, you know, we were right in the middle of baby birthday, so I could not get. I never had a chance to get one. You know, once the early scratches were done and I had everything posted, I couldn't get back. So I'm sorry about that. A couple of maiden performances that we're going to talk about. And yesterday there was that Julia Shining. The race came back, you know, not particularly fast, but Julia Shining looked very nice winning. This is the Dreaming of Julia Curlin Stone Street Homebred. And Todd Pletcher just, I mean, hitting on every cylinder. It's scary. Right, had the maiden winner in the nightcap too, for Vinny Viola. This one a Viola homebred, the Quality Road filly, Juniper Marshmallow. Came from well back too, going a mile and a 16th, and I didn't check the fig on the. I don't know if the fig should be up, because I did see the Caravelle. I did see Caravelle's number. Came back 89 for her. We'll look at these two maidens. I must have looked, because I knew that she was the other one was a 70 something. Let's see. I think I might have it up here if you bear with me. Suge is going to join us. We'll talk momentarily about what went on in New York, which included Claude Ray. Speaking of maiden winners. Signature for Suge on Friday. Yeah, that's as it sort of anticipated, second start. So we'll talk about Signature. But there's actually quite a bit for Suge to talk about. The Sands Point, Skims. Yeah, Skims. Very nice win under Johnny. Yeah, nice. Good. Pretty good Friday, Saturday. Johnny goes to Keeneland, wins the Sycamore, back to New York on Saturday, wins the Sands Point. Friday, Trombetta with that Half is Enough. And Trevor McCarthy, they won the Glen Cove. And yesterday, Lady Edith in the Floral Park for Christoph with Joel Rosario. That's the Reeves, I think, right? Yeah. I think so. I've got the chart here somewhere. But Suge to talk about Signature, to talk about Skims, Andrew Rosen. and the two-year-old, right? We got to talk about the two-year-old from 2 weeks ago. And it's funny because I did not, sometimes I kind of wait and Pleasant Passages win in the Miss Grillo. So we'll talk to Shug in about 3 minutes. Also this hour, let me give you the lay of the land. I've already told you MIG at 10 o'clock. Shark Hadlin, which is going to be a lot of fun in hour three, to talk about coming to the U.S. and taking down the biggest prize in American chasing. So looking forward to that. Naja Thompson. Who doesn't look forward to Naj? Naj, there's a sale today for those of you that didn't, might not be in tune with this, but the Saratoga Fall Sale today at the sales grounds. Just the one day, and it's a mixed bag. Lots of everything in full mares and broodmare prospects and a hatful of weanlings. 175 cataloged weanlings, every one a New York bred. So wanted to get Naj in to kind of preview the sale. There's quite a bit. I'll go over later after the show. And they start at 10, but they got quite a bit to sell. I didn't look at the outs, but there's a number of interesting stallion names that are dotting the catalog. Country House. See the first couple of Country Houses. There's two. How about War of Will and the Vekomas? There's those volatiles. We keep hearing about volatile, so we'll see some volatile weanlings today. What other names jump out at me here looking through this that are going to be fresh? Spun to Run. Spun to Run. It may be a little under the radar. Tom's the Tot has got a baby in the sale. The late to, what was he, seven? Came off the racetrack at seven. Tom's the Tot and Flame Away. There's two Flame Aways. We've been talking about Disco Partner has got a baby in the sale. Catalina Cruiser. There's Balabali. See a Balabali baby. that'd be a good name for a fall. Balabala baby. Did I say War of Will? War of Will. Yeah. So it should be fun. And they're all mixed up. Sometimes there's broodmares go through with the baby, or both in the catalog. And so Naja Thompson, and actually Naja, of course, heading up the New York Thoroughbred Breeders. And speaking of New York Thoroughbred Breeders, today at 4:04, in fact, we drove by Farmington, we drove by Finger Lakes yesterday, the New York Breeders Futurity today. And it's an 8-horse field going in. We'll see if everybody runs. But the last stake of the season at Finger Lakes, and always rich because, it's a futurity, so the pot grows based on the participation, and 158,579,000. And there's some familiar names in here, most notably Andiamo a Firenze. Yep, coming out of the Champagne. So Andiamo, this is the Firenze Fire brother for Ron Lombardi and Kelly Breen and Jose Lascano going to ride. And coming out of the Champagne with the maiden win at Belmont and the Funny Side win at Saratoga in tow. And his two open company, he was third in the Sanford behind Mo Strike. And fourth and beaten quite a bit in the Champagne, but he's going to cut back and maybe Kelly and Ron Lombardi kind of, I won't say confining him to sprinting, but maybe it turns out, that this is what he wants. He's a Spitestown, and his brother, certainly Firenze Fire navigated the sprint distances to the elongated sprint distances. But I mean, how do you miss this opportunity to run for a buck and a half? So Andiamo at 7-5. But I tell you, he is not a layover in here. There's two horses. Stonewall Star for Horacio De Paz and Barry Schwartz. Stonewall Farm, of course. This is a flatter that broke the maiden at Aqueduct just 3 weeks ago. Stonewall Star with a 72 buyer, wire to wire, with Manny Franco. Jose Ortiz comes to Finger Lakes today. And then a Kulik Avenue for the aforementioned Reeves Racing. This is the McLean's Music Colt that won the aspirant on the slop. But he's won on fast ground, too. He broke his maiden at Saratoga in July on fast ground. His one-off performance was behind Andiamo, as it happens in the funny side. So, nice running of the Futurity at Finger Lakes today. Four others as well. Linda Dixon's got Mashindi, a Daddy Long Legs, the Cat Alack Kid, a Reddisdale, and there's some Reddisdales in the sale. This is a first-time starter for Mrs. Pale Angeli and Charlie Baker. Tis Lucky for Linda Dixon as well. A Made from Lucky gelding and Golden Nemnar Hills, Ralph D'Alessandro, and Anthony Ferraro sends Mo Trump a Motown that he co-owns with Dave Cummings. So there's the field of eight for the Futurity today. Plenty of other action that has to be summarized and discussed and chewed on. Ontario action, Ontario fashion, the Grade 3. Lauren Richards, we'll talk about what went on at Woodbine, Delaware. One other guest today that I got to slip in. And Case, maybe reach for Shug. Get Shug going in here. And that comes up from, not down, from Delta. Last week, with the start of the Delta season, happened to notice, and I almost reached out to Chassis Palmier. And, of course, she's got that really nice Free Like a Girl that won the Magnolia last week. But I'm glad I waited, because she turned around and won again over the weekend. Janet is ready for Chassis. Janet is ready. A Custom for Carlos won the Louisiana Jewel. So Chassis Palmier, who you certainly know also as Chassis DeVille. Cadillac Carl's daughter. So Chassis Palmier today. And I'm sure she's, I mentioned Carl DeVille, and, well, she must be the apple of his eye, because, of course, Palmier means apple in French. Shug McGahee joins us, and I told Shug this morning I was glad I waited from 2 weeks ago, because we can talk about a lot more with Claude Ray this morning. Shug, congratulations on a whole bunch of things.
Thank you, Steve.
Shug, let's you know what, we'll work backwards. Let's start with Skims, and you know, I know you love to win for Andrew Rosen, and you know, certainly given his program, winning a graded stake with a filly goes a long way. The Frankel daughter, terrific under Johnny, winning the Sands Point.
Well, she was. You know, our races have been pretty consistent this year, except for the two races at Saratoga, where I guess she didn't like the course or what. But, you know, she ran very well down at Kentucky Downs just to get beat. And then she came out of the race good, came back up here and trained really well. And, you know, we were between the Sands Point and the QE2, chose the Sands Point. Just hoping that maybe it would come up a tad bit easier than the QE2 to get her a stakes win. And, you know, with a lot of help from Johnny Velasquez, she was able to do it. But she trained really well, her work before, you know, last Saturday or Sunday on the turf at Belmont was very good. And she went over there and she ran good, like I say, as a compliment to a great ride by Johnny Velasquez.
Well, and in terms of her development, Shug, talk about the backstory with her, because she, you know, once she broke the maiden at the end of last year, it seems like you had, you know, a high level campaign in mind for her as a 3-year-old, and certainly when you think about a homebred that Andrew crafted here with Frankel, you know, this is what you're hoping for.
Well, no doubt, you know, I mean, he's trying to develop a, and has a, you know, good breeding program. He's got some nice mares and gives them a chance with good stallions, and, you know, sending that mare over there to breed her to Frankel, and bring her back over here. She was small early on, a little bit to the worry of me, and we didn't pick her up till, you know, that last summer sometime, and maybe it's Saratoga, and she broke her maiden, you know, at Aqueduct last November, and I elected to take her over to Tampa and ran her over there, and then, you know, she finished a pretty nice third at Keeneland, and another one here. We really thought that she might be one of those kind that could compete in the, you know, the Oaks and all that kind of series on the grass that they put together up here. But she really, you know, we tried her once. She was third, and, you know, she just wasn't quite ready for it. So we backed off of her a little bit, and, you know, I think that helped her too. She's starting to, she's grown and she's developed, and, you know, I really think maybe her future's in front of her.
It would seem so. And, you know, this was also a breakthrough on Figs, 92 buyer. So she gets past the, you know, that next level. And really she's shown that kind of steady development. What about distance for her, Shug? What do you think ultimately she's going to want to do in terms of trip?
I think she, you know, I always thought she didn't want to run long, but I think that she wants to run longer. I kind of saw that a little bit at Saratoga. You know, so that's why I elected to send her down to Kentucky Downs and just kind of let her do her thing. But I think that, you know, mile and eighth and father is going to be your gig eventually.
Nice. And, of course, this was a mile and an eighth. And, you know, she, yeah, it seems like the mile, it seems like the mile, for whatever reason, is a little sharp. She kind of gets there a little bit late, but, you know, as she continues to grow and change. How many Frankels have you had come your way so far?
This is the only one. But
only one?
With Skims, the biggest thing that's happened with her is just kind of mental maturity to go along with her physical maturity. She used to want to be a little bit more aggressive, and, you know, really in our last two races, she's sort of settled the way we wanted her to. And, you know, Saturday, we thought that, you know, with the way the race was going to set up, that we would be, you know, we'd be forward, and we had the inside post and don't give that up. And, you know, Johnny was able to sort of get her where he wanted her and kind of keep Vergara on the inside of her. And, you know, then when it came time, it was time to go. But she's the only Frankel I've ever had.
Yeah, you know, given the way Andrew Rosen breeds, I don't know if there's another one, you know, if he's covered this mare with Frankel again. But this certainly would be a nice addition.
It would take some more of them.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah, really good fire.
Well, and of course, Frankel was discussed widely. I haven't had a chance to talk about the Champions Day action on Saeed morning, but Baid getting beat, and there was all the references to Frankel, so we'll get to that at some point this morning. We might hear from Nick Luck. Shug, let's also, I'm going to wait on Signator. We'll talk about him in a minute. But let's back up to 2 weeks ago, and I saw some of the quotes that you offered to Dave Grenig over the weekend about Pleasant Passage. Let's talk about the Ms. Griot win and her getting ready for the Breeders' Cup.
Well, of course, at Saratoga, we were very pleased with the way she ran. She came, showed a lot of maturity, kept closing on the inside of those horses, and looked like maybe that horse on the outside of her had her, and she sort of re-kicked and went on and won. And their next logical start was the Miss Grillo, and Tyler was tied up at Keeneland, so I was lucky to get Irad. And, you know, it came up kind of race to where, you know, he said she broke good and nobody else seemed wanting to go, so he just sort of left her where she was, and she kept going, and, you know, kind of looked like maybe the horse who finished second was going to get her, and then she spurted off again. And so I think she's got a lot of competitive in her. she had trained really well from her race at Saratoga to the Miss Grillo. She was sharp in the right way, and her works here on the turf were really good. And, you know, I was very pleased, to be able to win, especially for, you know, the filly and for Emery, who, you know, so her breeding program, too. All hers, all females is hers. And so, you know, next logical place is the Breeders' Cup, which is another pretty big step forward. But she had a very good work over the turf here at Belmont yesterday. And, you know, I think kind of the way that she came out of Miss Grillo, you know, she had a few days, and then, you know, I think she settled into her training really well. And like I say, I thought she worked really, really well yesterday.
You know, a quick aside about the family, because it's sure noticeable, Shug, and you've had, you know, you mentioned the female family for Emery Hamilton, and this one is certainly feels like she's more talented than, you know, than her dam, that Peaceful Passage, and before that, Flying Passage. They were modest winners, but this one feels like there's plenty of upside.
Well, I think so. I mean, she bred her to More Than Ready, and, you know, she put a little speed into him with her, and, you know, I think that she's the best to come along so far, and hopefully she'll keep improving. And, you know, Emery's got good families. We've got, you know, a couple of sisters to Olympiad, 1 3-year-old, one 2-year-old, a 3-year-old. I think she finished second once, and then she's down with Nile. We had gave her some time, and she's down with Nile Brennan now, and the other filly's unnamed out of Tokyo Time. She's Warfront, I believe, and she's at Fair Hill and doing fine. Had a little, some ankles when we first started with her, and kind of gave her some time with them, but she's going on really well at this time.
Well, and this, of course, Peaceful Passage. You mentioned the More Than Ready. There's the sibling of Peaceful Passage. Hungry Island was by More Than Ready. So this is going back to that same well, that same cross.
Yes. And she's a lot like Hungry Island. You know, Hungry Island was tough to train. Now, this filly's not that, but she wanted to be, Hungry Island wanted to be aggressive, and she had to be ridden perfectly or she'd get beat. But this filly's really not that way. But they look a lot the same, and they train a little bit the same. And, you know, I think she made a great decision by going back to that cross.
Well, and also a sib to Soaring Empire, and you know, we talk about this family. This is also Hungry Island. Speaking of the family, Hungry Island, that Flanagan's Cove, right?
Flanagan's Cove, yes. You know, I think she's a nice filly. She didn't run very well in up at Saratoga that one time. The first time I ran her in a stake when she finished fourth, I thought she ran really well with no more of the season than she had. But I was disappointed in her second race. Maybe I went back too quick. And so we've given her some time, and hopefully maybe we can run her in an allowance race going distance ground here on sometime in November. She's still got some conditions, so I plan on using them, and plan on talking to Emery not into breeding her so we can run her again next year going along, because I do think her future's in front of her.
Well, and since we're concentrating, we probably don't talk enough about Emery Hamilton, but she's enjoying a really good year. She's already sitting, you know, depending on what Pleasant Passage does in the Breeders' Cup, this is her third best year in terms of earnings, and Pleasant Passage could make it her best year yet, and that's saying something.
Well, we're pulling for that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, she likes a race. She basically sells her colts now with a lot of the same fillies out of the family. She has sold a few fillies. And, in fact, the Tokyo Time was in the sale last year. She was a foal share with Joe Allen, and she bought the partnership out. And, So, you know, she's a few of those, but she likes to breed and race the fillies. That's her basic game plan. And you know, then if they're good enough, bring them back and be broodmares. But no matter what, you know, they've all got pedigree. So, you know, you never know when these things will bounce back. And the Olympiad was, you know, I mean, I think they paid $750-$800 for him. So that gives her a little stud fee money. And that's the way she sort of runs her program.
Yeah, you know, everybody's got to take money off the table at some point and, you know, kind of grind it back in. Shug, before I ask about Signator, I do want to ask about one other stakes placement that kind of went under the radar. I was at Presque Isle last month, about 4 weeks ago, for that Presque Isle Masters, and I sent Allison a picture of Cafe Society in the paddock, and she ran terrific. Wasn't going to get to Safi Joseph's winner, but that was a good effort. What's on the agenda for her?
I wish I knew. She's back at Bear Hill training, but she's doing good. No, she trained really well, Steve, on the Tapita down at Fair Hill. So I took her up there and ran her in a two other van and lounge race, and she ran very well, got beat a nose or something. And so, you know, Joe kind of said, what are we going to do now? So she comes out of it, okay, we're going to go back up there. And, you know, it worked out really well. Not only was it, you know, did she get to be stakes placed in a decent race and, you know, was a kind of earn some good purse money also, being the purse that was. And, you know, we got the stakes placed on a filly that he had bought by Empire Maker. So, you know, I know that I'd like to try her on the grass and will. And, you know, they've got Tapita at Gulfstream, which they don't really write any stakes for. But I do know on Pegasus Day there's kind of a big money allowance race that we can run in. But we'll run her before that. But, you know, I'm going to try her on the grass and see what she does from there. But she'll also run on the dirt, too. I mean, I think her first two races,
yep,
her first two wins were on the dirt.
And, you know, she got placed in the Tempted and was fourth in the Demoiselle 2 years ago. So there's plenty there to work with. That's one of my favorite names.
Yeah.
Cafe Society is just a tremendous name.
Yeah, we got the picture. I enjoyed seeing it. We were sitting there trying to fight staying up, and the picture came through there, and that worked out really well.
I loved going there. I had so much fun at Presque Isle, and they got a nice...
Tell you something else about that film, too, is Junior really rides her well. You know, So I'm trying to find some place where he can ride her, but he does really fit her and ride her well. He won on her at Gulfstream, and then the race down at Monmouth was sort of a disaster. The problems, you know, with the gate, and they had to back them out and all that kind of stuff, and she might not have the temperament for all that, and she didn't run any good, but, you know, her last two races have been pretty good.
You know, before we talk about Signator, one other stakes placement, you know, obviously there wasn't going to be any beating Nest in the Beldame, but First to Act, I mean, here's a Curlin filly that has never been worse than second in six career starts. Where do you think you are with this four-year-old?
Well, you know, I'm pleased with where we are, because when she came in, you know, she had some problems at Niles, and, you know, I guess she came to us about last December at Gulfstream, and, you know, I really didn't know where we stood when we ran her the first time, and she was second to a well-meant filly of Chad's, and, you know, then she came back, and, you know, she won very good here, and the next race was good, and, you know, I thought her race up at, you know, before this one, or two races before this were both very good, a win, and then she was second in that condition state going a mile and eighth at Saratoga. And in the Beldame, you know, we knew we were obviously up against it with Nest, who, you know, very good. And, you know, I kind of wonder, you know, she's first time against older horses and all that kind of stuff, but she proved that wasn't a problem and the way she ran the other day. And, you know, the only thing I was a little bit I thought maybe she'd be a little bit more competitive than she was, but she came out of the race good, and you know, her numbers were a lot less than they were before, whatever that means. But you know, I think maybe she might like a little bit firmer track than what we've got over at Aqueduct, and you know, possibly maybe try her in the Fall City later on in Churchill Downs. Or contradicting myself, you know, the turn back the alarms also out there on Breeders' Cup weekend too. So you know, we got some alternatives with her, and then you know, he'll race her again next year, and I'd be interested in running her in, you know, at Gulfstream over a little bit firmer track, going 1 mile and 16ths or 1 mile and 1/8 around two turn. But she's a typical curling two turn dirt filly. Her mother was more of a sprinter. First passage, I think she was fourth in the. She ran mainly at Calder, but she ran fourth in the test years back. But you know, I'm pleased with the way First Act has developed and come along, and you know, it looks like she's over any kind of problems she had a year ago or so. And you know, so we look to the, you know, she's, like you say, she's lightly raised too for a 4 year old, and you know, our future should be in front of her.
Gotta love it. And talk now about, I got so much actually now. I'm realizing, Shug, there's plenty to talk about. I want to get, don't let me leave without a Kathleen O update. And of course, we'll talk about First Captain. But Signature, second time out, and wins Friday, and you know, kind of sets up pretty much an open slate. Give us a feel for this Tappet colt that, of course, was bred by Gainsway, by Anthony Beck, and Woodford and West Point paid big money for this Tappet colt at OBS in April.
Well, I've always liked him. He's got a very good mind for Tappet. You know, the second, the bottom side's all Phipps, and being Pension, who I had broker maiden at Aqueduct, and was Ramon Dominguez a long time ago, and you know, she was by Seeking the Gold, and Sister of Furlow, I believe, and so when David and Woodford bought him, you know, he was coming to me, and we just sent him back down to sent him over to Barry Eisman's and gave him like a month off, and brought him back up to Fair Hill for his early stuff, and then he was at Saratoga, and you know, he trained like a decent horse, and you know, I really didn't want to run him 3/4 his first start, but that was kind of what was there. And sort of looking down the line, I said, well, I'd go on and run him instead of sitting on him. And you know, he ran pretty good second first time, and then that sort of set him up for his race the other day. And he trained really well up to that race, and we thought he would run a good race. And I thought Javier did a good job by when he was kind of in behind horses, sort of sitting and waiting and cutting the corner and making a hole, and sort of showed some of the Signature's maturity also. So, you know, we've got hopes for him, and, you know, we got a ways to go, but I got a text from Bill Farish this morning, what are you thinking with Signature, and my answer was, well, let's just wait and see. But you know, you got the Nashua, you know, 3 weeks from now or so, and it could be a little quick, we'll just have to let him tell us that. But then you got the Remsen, you know, on probably on December 3rd. It's a long time for me to have to be in New York, but so like you say, we've gotten two solid races into him, and I think we can kind of go and do what we want to do as long as he tells us he's okay.
Now, that was a timely win, because it gives you the opportunity to try some of those 2-year-old stake chances before the calendar runs out. So clearly, you know, clearly going to be a horse to look forward to, and if he's a Tappet with a good mind at two, that bodes well for next year too as he matures.
Well, he is. You know, he's never made a wrong move, and he was very good over there on last Friday, you know, coming from Aqueduct to the whole, I mean, Belmont to the Holden Barn and Holden Barn to the paddock, and from the paddock to the starting gate. He did all that stuff very professional, and, you know, I was very pleased to see that.
Yeah, Signature and the maiden win on Friday. And, Shug, a couple of other names, as mentioned. You know, we touched on Pleasant Passage for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. How about the boy? How about Battle of Normandy?
Well, I think we're going to pre-enter him. You know, I just don't think he liked the turf over at Aqueduct that day. And, you know, he's kind of unlucky in the width anticipation that we didn't get loose till a little bit too late and just missed. He came back on yesterday and had a very good work on the turf. And, you know, I'll talk to Terry and Bill and some of them today and kind of make up my mind. We still got a week before pre-entry, I think. And, you know, it would be my idea that we did go on, especially what we call the firm turf. I wouldn't want to run him on a real soft turf over at Keeneland because it can be a little softer there than so yielding. But, you know, it would be my idea to give him a chance.
Nice. So at least the two for the cup. And I know that based on what you told Dave the other day, we're going to see we got first captain. We got to check in on first captain, right? The Fayette.
Looking forward to running him in the Fayette. He had a very, very good work here Sunday, exactly what I was looking for. And we put him on the van that afternoon. He got to Lexington this morning so I can have, almost 2 weeks of where he can train over the track there at Keeneland. And looking forward to it. He's done very well since the since the Gold Cup. I thought he fought the racetrack at Saratoga a little bit that day. And I thought he did, his other race, one of his other races that wasn't that good was in the curling when he was a 3-year-old. And I never did really think that he trained as well up there as possibly at other places. He obviously likes Belmont, and he's trained good here since the Gold Cup, and his work here Sunday was, really good. It was a steady kind of 48 and change, galloped out in a minute of 101, pulled up in 13 or 14, and it was exactly kind of what I was looking for. It was steady but finished well, and came out of it well, and he's looking around Lexington right now.
There we go. I love it. How about the group that you're considering for the Hill Prince at Fort Washington? It's based on quotes, it seemed like you're more excited about Fort Washington than anybody else, and that's not to take away from Limited Liability or Celestial City.
Well, Fort Washington is, if he catches a firm turf, he's okay, and he's trained really well. I was disappointed in his race at Kentucky Downs. He didn't react to the doors and got way out of it. He can't finish up and only got beat four lengths. But if he catches a firm turf on Saturday, I think he's been kind of begging to go a little bit farther. But I've also got, as you said, Limited Liability of Celestial City. And somewhere along the line, I'm going to separate some of those and run one in the Bryan Station at Keeneland, which is a mile, but if you catch a pace, a horse like Fort Washington can probably close into it, or Celestial City. Limited Liability is definitely going to run here in the Hill Prince, and probably Celestial City.
When you got a trio like this, this kind of harkens back, Shug, to that period where you had horses like, Mr. Speaker and Point of Entry. Remember the Boisterous? There was that period where you had a hatful of these types.
Well, I hope they turned out to be like those three. Well, they were pretty good. And, I think that I don't think Limited Liability is really found his best stride yet, and I'm not sure that maybe I exactly know exactly what he wants to do. I know he would like to have, you know, a fast pace in front of him, but going long on the grass, especially up here, you're not going to catch that. But, you know, his races have been pretty consistent. Even the race where he finished fifth, beat four lengths or something, and before we went up to Saratoga, and his race at Colonial was good. I thought maybe, and I think he did too, that Jose thought maybe he left him a little bit too much to do and that day, and hopefully that won't be the case this time, which I'm sure that he learned from that, and it won't be. But that was, you know, when we ran the two stakes as a two-year-old, you know, there were short fields, and he laid up a little bit closer, and when I gave him, he didn't finish as well as I would like. And so then we brought him back in Keeneland, you know, Jose and I talking, said, you know, let's just take him back and see what happens, you know, and he finished really well. So that's been kind of what our game plan's been in his other races. And, you know, I think it's time to sort of judge the race and not just judge what you think the horse really wants to do. So I think once he finds his best stride, that he's going to be a nice horse to be around. Celestial City's races have been good. Put the blinkers on him, and when he finished second to good horse of Todd's in a dead heat in the Saranac, thought he ran fine. You know, he just called the horses pretty good, and he proved it coming back and winning the mile race at Keeneland in pretty fashionable way. It'll be one of the picks in the Breeders' Cup going mile, and then, like I say, I think Fort Washington, his race at where he finished at Monmouth was good and shows what kind of ability he's got. And like I say, I gave him time. I was disappointed in his race at Kentucky Downs, and so we'll come back in one of the two, either this Saturday or the 29th at Keeneland. But he also, I'm not trying to be repetitive, but he also had a very good work yesterday on the turf at Belmont. So looking forward to running him wherever it is. But it's got to be fun.
Well, speaking of nice works, on Saturday, another half mile. There's been a steady diet of them now for Kathleen O, working her way back, last seen, of course, in the Oaks, Shug. And where are you with Kathleen O?
We're getting there, Steve. Our last two works have been really, really good. I think that we can be ready for it. I think she's going to relish, you know, the two turns, like over there with in the Conway, and looking forward to running a fresh horse that's been training well, and been looking forward to the winter campaign at Gulfstream. We'll try to pick out the right kind of races for there. Obviously, she really likes the racetrack at Gulfstream because she's
sure
3-for-3 there, and she broke her maiden at Aqueduct back last November. So, I'm very pleased with the way she's doing. I thought her race, her work the other day was really good. She galloped out really strong, and that was what I was looking for.
Kathleen O, working her way back, and that's be nice. It'll be nice to have her back on the scene. I want to ask you also about Don Adams' colt, that General Jim, the maiden breaker, and when we're going to see him next.
Well, my plan was to run him in Keeneland, and he got on the also eligibles in the Bourbon State there. I just thought he might like that quicker racetrack there where, but he got on the also eligibles and didn't get in. There's a lounge race on the 29th for two-year-olds at Keeneland. He's there. You know, I thought, well, might as well just leave him there and run him in that, and then maybe use a two-year-old race that, he runs good two-year-old race down the line. There's one here towards the end of November, or wait till Gulfstream around, you know, that firmer track and quicker track there. So, you know, he's got some speed, and so that's what our plans are for him. He worked there once, and he's going to work there again tomorrow, and just kind of going along.
Excellent. Well, it made me think of a couple of things with Kathleen O, Mr. Carney, and, of course, Don Adam with seemingly some aggressive action at the Keeneland sale. Shug, how many of those were you with him? He bought some nice yearlings, it looks like.
Yeah, most of those will go to California. That towel was Woodford. He got. So, what?
Hey. Oh, Shug, we're having a little phone. The phone's kind of cutting in and out on us, Shug. We're losing you here a little bit.
Yeah, well, he's on me, too. That Tala race is a big part of Woodford, and he's from California, and most of those horses were bought Woodford Tala, and I think that most of them will go to California.
Okay, but it's a couple of, he'll send a couple your way.
Oh, yeah, we'll have plenty, and I'm sure we'll probably be active in 2-year-old sales as they come up this winter also.
And as you know, we've had a lot of fun with the Kathleen O story with Mr. Carney, who you know whimsically said you wished he'd gotten in the business a little younger. Is he going to stay active? Is he going to buy some more horses?
I don't know if he'll buy more individually, Steve, but he's got some units of Woodford, so
nice.
He's enjoying that part of it too, you know. So he would have some sort of piece of signature, and you know, a few others that we got.
That's
so
cool.
And then that's one of my thinkings a little bit with Kathleen O is, you know, he winters in Florida, so he just got to drive 20 minutes at his age to Gulfstream to watch a run instead of, you know, I mean, he really, really enjoyed the Kentucky Oaks, but you know, at his age, you know, I think it wore him down pretty good. And then I ran one for him at Kentucky Downs, ran a really good race, finished third, and a two out of them there. And they went down there and flew to Nashville and drove up there to that. And I think he really, really enjoyed that also. But like I say, when you get to be 85, 86 years old, that's not the easiest trips to make.
No.
So, you know, that 20-minute drive from Battle Harbor, Surfside to Gulfstream is a whole lot easier than Chicago to Nashville to Franklin,
yeah,
Kentucky, or all that went on in Louisville.
Well,
even
speaking,
though he
by
enjoyed
the way,
both.
Yeah. No, that was one of the fun stories this year, was the Kathleen O story and Mr. Carney. Shug, speaking of Woodford, let me slip in the first-time starter at the end of the week, Wayhill Road. Tell me about this quality road colt.
Nice colt, Steve. He got sore shins back in June, and, you know, I needed to do something with him and blister or fire him. And, you know, the deadline was July the 1st, so I went on and pin-fired him and brought him back slowly. He had a very good work at Fair Hill a couple of weeks ago out of the gate. And then he came back, and Tyler worked him out of the gate at Keeneland the other day and said, let's go. So came out of it good, and lucky they split the race and we got in, and I'm looking forward to watching him run.
Excellent. Wayhill Road.
He's a half-brother to Durbin. That horse is a half-brother to Durbin.
How about that? And that I didn't realize. That's exciting.
Yeah.
And especially with what Durbin is doing in the shed so far.
I agree. I'm excited about him. He's one I really like. I liked him when they bought him as a yearling, you know, and I liked him at Fair Hill. And, you know, like I say, I'm looking forward to Friday.
Outstanding. That's in the seventh race on Friday. Tyler Gaffalione, Wayhill Road is who we're talking about. And also on Friday, three-year-old, that Into Mischief filly for Mr. Adam, Adam's Angel, about time for her to get going.
I agree, Steve. I really liked her as a two-year-old. I thought her first race was really good, and she came, you know, I just thought she needed some time. She'd grown quite a bit. Brought her back and have been disappointed. I was disappointed in her first race. You know, I worked on the grass a couple times, tried it. That didn't work. But I think she's turned the corner a little bit. And then again, you know, we're kind of looking forward to seeing what we see on this week and when she starts back again. You know, and I think going around two turns somewhere along the line, maybe at Gulfstream is going to be really what fits her. But I think she'll make a good appearance here on this week.
Well, we can't. We got
a lot of action on Friday now. Got three at Keeneland and two at Aqueduct. So,
well, you're busier than ever. You've also got horses tomorrow. You got two tomorrow at Indiana, and we can't have a conversation. This is the Candy Ride, the homebred out of Vagabond.
Well, I think he's okay, Steve. I kind of told Daisy that. You know, you don't mind, I'd like to take him up there and run him. You know, kind of get an easier race into him and sort of check him out before we throw him to the wolves. But I think he's a horse that, you know, with twos in with time is going to be okay. He's kind of developed in his training and physical looks the way you'd want him to, and it's just kind of time to go. He's been in Kentucky, and I don't think that, you know, I was just worried about whether, you know, it just came down, let's go on and enter him, see if he gets in, because, you know, I think they had 47 or 50 in the race they split at the other day at Keeneland. So I think we made the right decision there.
Excellent. There's another one tomorrow, too, right? I'm losing track of who the other horse was.
Yeah, pulling well taken, Chiefs. You know, she knocks on the door all the time. She wants to be a kind of come from behind sprinter on the turf. Her mother was that way. And, you know, she ought to be pretty tough there. She ran a good race two good races at Kentucky Downs. The second one she finished third, kind of ran okay, but I banged her back pretty quick. And just because there's just not that many opportunities, I said, we'll put her in, see if she gets in. If she gets in, we'll give it a whirl. And, you know, I think the coming back in a hurry sort of showed up, but she didn't run bad at all.
Well, Shug, what a nice array! You're as flush as in all the years we've talked. That you're as flush as ever.
I agree. You know, we got a Medallion or Colt was on the also eligible the team the other day and didn't get in, called the Jackal and. So, you know, we'll see as we go along. But, you know, I think we've got a lot of things to be excited about. And it's just going to be a matter of kind of trying to keep them separated. And month and a half now here in New York. And, you know, sort of the same thing in Kentucky. You know, we'll have some horses stabled at Churchill Downs and be able to utilize that. But, we've had some there. Really all along, but with the turf course situation there, sort of threw a little bit of a dagger at me, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens there in November.
Well, and Shug, I don't want to end on a sort of a moderate note, but our friend Rocky Massey, who's I think a West Point partner, he wants to write from the source about Empress at War and what has to be done to get her over.
Well, as I told Aaron Finley the other day after she ran, she said, what about her? And I said, she's going to be okay. We're going to win some races with her. You know, I don't know that she's going to win the Prix d'Anne or anything, but I think she's going to be useful. So tell Rocky, don't give up on her yet.
There you go. She's going to be useful. I love it. Shug, this was wonderful and great to catch up on everything. We're going to see you in Lexington. Keep them all healthy, happy, and look forward to seeing you and Allison.
Oh, well, thank you. We'll look forward to seeing you all. Where are you?
I'm home. I'm back back by Saratoga, back in Greenwich.
And I see all these tweets where you're at this place and eating at that place. Where the hell is this guy? He's everywhere.
I like it though, right? It's good. It keeps me, you know.
I'm sure the road trips are fun. Getting to see, you know, I've never been to Kentucky Downs myself, and everybody raves on it. You know, Ron Anderson and Rusty Arnold, some of my friends that go there, they love it.
Well, I told you this. They're earlier in the fall. I was shocked when you said that you had never been there, that you'd never made that drive down.
No. Well, usually I'm up here when that's going on, but that's true. I think next year we're going to try to make a trip to Nashville and go up there when we have a couple in, you know, a few days in a row and sort of go from there.
Exactly. I'll give Allison all the tips and all the details. All right. You just have to pack a bag. That's it.
That's all I want to do. I just want to sit on the right side and ride along.
The one and only Claude Ray. Thank you, Shug.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
So much fun. The people say to me, who's your best guest? The best guest is an easy, that's an easy answer. There's and we didn't even do any much historical with him today. I mean, when we go into the historic, it's always amazing. And he just starts plucking, you know, races out of horses' histories. It's just amazing. Hall of Famer, Shug McGahey, everybody. Let's take a break. We got tons to do, and we're already in trouble. I see we're 10 minutes into hour two. Let's take the break, Case, and when we come back, we've got to go to Mig. Mig is waiting, and so we'll get to Mig, and Naja Thompson is going to join us from the New York Thoroughbred Breeders. Chazzy Pommier, off of her successes, 2 weeks in a row, stake wins down at Delta Downs. Looking forward to meeting Chazzy. Carl DeVille's daughter. How about a visit right? We got to do it right at 11. I can't screw this up. Shark Hanlon is going to join us, which should be pretty, pretty, pretty entertaining. Wins the Grand National with a, what'd they say? Well, how much was he? $900? It's the craziest story ever. Uick won like a pro, won like a champ. And you know, Nick Luck told you on Friday that Uick was no doorknob, to say the least. Well, listen, the people, it's not like the betting public didn't see what was coming, right? I mean, he was vying for favoritism for a good period. And I mean, snap decision ended up going off at a tick under 3-2. But Uick was 2-10, 2-1, paid 620. You know, by the way, I mean, he was beaten a dozen lengths, but Noah and the Ark, for Todd McKenna, I owe Todd McKenna a call. And that was a very good effort behind the winner here. And Noah and the Ark is going to get votes for Steeplechase Champ. Wins the Lonesome Glory, and he only made two starts this year. He won the Lonesome Glory, and he's second in the Grand National. So he's going to get votes. He and Snap Decision, and I tell you, I suppose Uick's going to get votes, right? Yeah. That Ask Paddington was third, who has been okay too, actually. So this is going to be one of those seasons that, I mean, I'm sure some people are going to, you know, consider Uick for coming over and winning. But feels like Snap Decision will win this one on points. Yeah, well, yeah, I think it's not the season, I'm sure, that Jack Fisher envisioned for Snap. Rich Migliori next, then Najee Thompson. Actually, boy, I may have to push Najee even. I'll text Najee Case on the break if he doesn't mind being a bit of a knight on the chessboard, kind of bouncing around. Because I've got a couple people that got to be where they were penciled in. All right. Well, Shug is like the snowplow. He's gonna clear everything off. We're never gonna rush Shug out the door. Back after this, though, hour two at the races weekend recapping, brought to you by Naira Betts. Stay with us.
It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association.